building upon the firm foundation of God's word. Matt, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us this morning. Let's give him another hand. Thank you. Well, we are in this series and will be in this series for a while. Last few weeks, we've been talking about the ways that we receive God's word by hearing it, by reading it, by studying it, researching it, by memorizing it, reviewing and remembering it, meditating upon it, and then applying it. Well, we have a young lady here this morning who's taking that pretty seriously. Claire has committed to memory Psalm 23, and she's going to come right now and share that with us. Come on up here. You hold my hand. You're going to stand right up here on this thing here so everybody can see you. There you go. She wants to take her mask off. There we go.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:1-6.
Thank you so much, Claire. She is setting a good example for all of us. Wow, that was wonderful. Well, I do want to welcome those of you who are joining us in the fellowship hall, as well as those of you joining us online. We're happy for this time to share together. I want to send out a shout out to Ron Young. We've missed him for the past several weeks. Looking forward to having him return to us soon. And we're glad that each of you are here in the sanctuary. We've been blessed already by Claire's recitation of Psalm 23 and Matt's sharing of Word of God Speak. You know what? Even if we just said amen and went home, we would have been blessed already, right? But we're not going to do that. We're going to hopefully hear from the Lord. But I wanted to share some statistics with you. These next several weeks, we're going to be focusing our attention upon the Word of God. We've talked about the different ways so far that we receive it. Today, we're going to start talking about the reasons why we can trust God's Word. I mean, is it really the Word of God? And we're going to be seeking to answer that question here in just a few moments. But I wanted to share some statistics. As a matter of fact, for the next few weeks, I might be sharing some of the research that's been done about and some of these statistics concerning Bible literacy. I think we all certainly are aware that Bible literacy has been declining in recent years. And used to be that you could hold up a sign that said John 3:16 and everybody knew what that meant. It was a reference to a passage of Scripture. I'm not so sure that's true anymore. But anyway, here are just a few statistics I'd like to share with you this morning. This is from a research paper called Bible Literacy, Crisis in America by Barbara Miller. And some of the things she discovered and some of the things that she points out is, and some of these are actually good news, I think. Did you know that there are 25 million copies of the Bible sold annually in America? Just in America, 25 million. The Gideon's International, most of you are familiar with that group. They distribute Bibles. They're known primarily for putting Bibles in hospitals and hotel rooms and and distributing them to grade school children. The Gideons distribute in excess of 45 million Bibles annually. Isn't that amazing? When I read that statistic, I made a call this week to see if we could get a Gideon speaker come and speak to us again. It's been a while since we've had one, but that's an incredible work that they do, and I want to support that, and I know you do too. By the way, if you're interested, that's 86 Bibles that are distributed every minute. And that's the work of the Gideons. 75% of Americans say they believe the Bible is either the Word of God or inspired by the Word of God. That's 75% of Americans. But unfortunately, less than 50% of Americans can name the first book of the Bible. I guess that explains some of the confusion over our origins. Only one-third of Americans know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Some seem to think it was Billy Graham. 25% of Americans do not know what is celebrated on Easter. 12% of American Christians think Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. Well, I'll share some more of these interesting statistics with you maybe next week. But this morning, again, we're in this series building on the firm foundation of God's Word. And today we want to start talking about the reasons why we can trust it. Trusting its inspiration and historical accuracy is the title of today's message. And our text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then a passage from the Old Testament. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, "All of your commandments can be trusted." All of your commandments can be trusted. And it's my hope that you too will know and resolve this in your heart and life, that God's Word is trustworthy. You can trust God's Word, because it is God's Word. Well, as Tony was pointing out just a few minutes ago, the Bible is the most read book in history. It's the best-selling book in history. And it's the most translated book in history. Now, again, we call it the Word of God, but how do we know it is the Word of God? Well, that's a good question. It's one that's deserving of a good answer. And we're going to attempt to answer that today. Again, referring to that passage in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. Some translations render that inspired. But I want to point out that when we talk about God's Word being inspired, we're not talking about it being written by an inspiring writer or that it's an inspiring book. We're talking about God inspiring the writing of this book. We're talking about the book being God's message to us. And again, Psalm 19 tells us, all of your commands can be trusted. Everything in the Bible can be trusted because it comes from God. But hey, let's admit it. It's one thing for the Bible to claim that it's the Word of God and to say that it can be trusted. But apart from the Bible, is there a way that I can believe the Bible is true? I mean, how do I know that it is the Word of God and not just a bunch of stories strung together over time? And again, I think that's a valid, legitimate, and important question. And it's one that we need to ask and answer, really, before we can ever start seriously studying the Bible. Because I think what we're really asking here is, how do I know I can trust the Bible? Well, Time magazine thought this was such an important question, it put featured an article on its cover twice in the past three decades. One headline on the cover of Time magazine was, "How True is the Bible?" And again, that's a good question. And another headline on the cover of Time asked, "Is the Bible fact or fiction?" Well, this morning, if anyone here is struggling with this issue, I'm hoping that we can settle this for you once and for all. I believe we can if a person will just take a look at the incredible evidence and facts. If you will stop making up your mind based on what you've heard other people say and take an honest look at what the Bible actually claims about itself and what history and science teach us about the Bible, I believe you will come to believe the Bible is trustworthy. Is the Bible the inspired Word of God? Can I trust the Bible? Well, I submit to you that there are seven reasons why you can, and over the next several weeks, we're going to look at each one of those. The first reason that you can trust the Bible is because it is historically accurate. It is historically accurate. Because the Bible is historically accurate, I know I can trust the Bible. The Bible isn't just doctrinally correct. It's not just theologically correct. It's not just accurate regarding morals and ethics. It's true historically. The Bible is a book about real people, real places, in real time. The word of the Lord is right and true, Psalms 33, verse 4 claims. The word is not only true and right about salvation, though, it is true and right about history. So how do we know that the Bible is historically accurate? Well, it's the same way that you know that any other account of history is accurate. You apply the same tests or the same standards of good history. And one of those tests is that you ask, is it from eyewitness accounts? Is it from eyewitness accounts? Was it written down by somebody who saw it or was there? Or is it just coming second hand or third hand? Or is it a legend written down many years later? Well, the fact is, the Bible is primarily eyewitness accounts by those who were actually there and witnessed the history as it was happening. That's why it's reliable historically. Moses was there when the Red Sea split. Joshua was there when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The disciples of Jesus sat in the upper room And they saw the resurrected Jesus, and they wrote down what they witnessed. They wrote down what happened so that others could read about it. These are eyewitness accounts of what happened. The other test of history by which we know the Bible is accurate is the extreme care with which the Bible was copied and passed down generation to generation. Now, bear with me. I know that this is kind of can be kind of dry when you're talking about historical things, but this is important. And this serves as one of the reasons why we can trust God's Word. And we want to help those of you who may question that, resolve that issue. You may have heard people say, well, it may have been accurate when it was first written, but it's been copied and recopied down through the years, and all these changes have come in, have kind of seeped in. Have you ever heard that comment? If you ever hear that, you know that somebody just hasn't taken time to study it. Because when you take the time to look into it, you will learn about the extreme care with which the Bible was copied and passed down from generation to generation. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When the Old Testament copyists and scribes would copy scrolls one to the other, they copied it like a Xerox copier. I'm serious. It had to be exact. They had this long list of rules that they had to go by to make sure that it was exact. Rules like they had a specified number of columns throughout a scroll, so it would always be the same. And the length of those columns always had to be exactly the same. And they always had to be exactly 30 letters wide so that they could always check it out. To make sure that it was always right, they had another rule that you had to copy letter by letter and not word by word. Another test they applied was they knew in a book how many letters of the alphabet were in each book. So, for instance, take our letter A. They would know that there were 1,653 A's on a scroll. So when they copied it, if it had 1,654, they had to start over. They had to throw the scroll away. They were so exact, they knew the middle letter of the first five books of the Bible, which, by the way, is called the Pentateuch. They knew the middle letter of the whole Old Testament. And after they copied all of this, they would go to that middle letter and count forward and backward. And if it didn't come out exactly as it should, they would throw it away and start over. That's how careful, how specific they were to make sure it was exact. Now, there are a lot of ways that we can see how precise and exact they were. But one of the most amazing ways is through something that's called the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, I know some of you have heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls and maybe even familiar with them. What's so significant about the Dead Sea Scrolls is that they were written about 100 years before Jesus. And among the Dead Sea Scrolls are copies of all the Old Testament books except for Esther. All the other Old Testament books were among the Dead Sea Scrolls when they were discovered. Prior to the time that these scrolls were found, the earliest copies that we had of the Old Testament were around 900 years after Christ. So basically there was this 1,000-year gap. And so when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, all of a sudden we had an opportunity to check out how much change had come into those scrolls over 1,000 years. And guess what? It was only about 5%. About 5% of difference in that 1,000-year period of time. And most of that difference was in the spelling of words and the spelling of names. So over 1,000 years, and those copyists that we just shared with you, all the rules that they had to make sure they got it right, over 1,000 years, and those copyists were proved to be right as they copied again and again and again and labored to make it right. That's an amazing proof of the historical accuracy of the Bible. Another proof of the Bible's historical accuracy is found in archaeology. Archaeology proves again and again that the places and the people that the Bible talks about are true. They're real people. It's not fiction. These are real places with real people in real time. And archaeologists have dug up ruins from these places. The Areopagus, for instance, where Paul was. The theater in Athens, where there was this riot. They've excavated the ruins of these places, and we actually can see them today. The Pool of Siloam, where the blind man was healed. Portions of Herod's temple. All of these places are talked about in the Bible, and archaeology has verified their existence. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, was a historian as well as a physician. Luke talks about 54 cities, 39 countries, and 9 different islands, all with complete historical accuracy. There have been many times throughout history when we've had an idea of what was historical, and it contradicted the Bible. And so archaeologists and historians have said the Bible must be wrong. But then, over time, and with new discoveries, the Bible was vindicated. And the Bible's been vindicated time and time again. One of the greatest examples of this involves the empire of the Hittites. The Hittites are talked about in the Bible, but for many, many years there were no other historical records which referred to the Hittites. So for centuries, historians said the Bible just made it up. The Bible just made it up. That is until the early 1900s, when 10,000 clay tablets were discovered in what was the capital city of the Hittites. And now everyone knows the Hittites existed. You can go to the internet and learn all about the Hittites, an empire for a long time historians claimed did not exist. Why can you trust the Bible? Well, because it is historically accurate. And number two, it is scientifically accurate. And we're going to talk about that next week. But right now, I'd like for you to stand, and we're going to sing our closing hymn, which is entitled, God Hath Spoken by His Prophets.